Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
When it comes to this cheating situation, people like to say when you have an opinion about if, you know, someone did something wrong, whether it's a play call, whether it's a draft pick, whether it's, you know, then you go on the air and they, hey, Sylvie, that's hindsight. Hindsight's 20/20. It's easy to do with hindsight. So here's the drill with the Major League Baseball situation with the Astros. Is that by admittedly using hindsight, is there a way that Major League Baseball would not have been criticized? Because Waddle and I were discussing this during Waddle's World, and Passan was on earlier. No matter what the commissioner would have done, was there still no right choice? Now, they could have been better. Like, everyone, I could have said, like, don't call the trophy a hunk of metal. I know what he's saying. Let me read you the quote from the interview that he did with Ravi. He said the idea of an asterisk or asking for a piece of metal back seems like a futile act. People will always know that something was different about the 2017 season, whether we made the decision right or wrong. We undertook a thorough investigation and we had the intestinal fortitude to share the results of that investigation, even when those results were not very pretty. So he's saying, look, it didn't do baseball any good. But knowing this, that our champion of 17 cheated, we still shared it with you.
Yeah, you're not getting brownie points for that, but you should not have called the commissioner's trophy a hunk of metal.
Right, but you understand what he was going for, right? He was saying that
taking the medal away, people are still going to acknowledge. I mean, people are still going to say, hey, they won that World Series. I mean, like I've always said about a vacated whatever it is, You still recognize the team that won is the team that won.
Let me ask you this question. Let's say they found the Cubs to have cheated. I'm not saying they did. They have all said they were on the up and up. If the Cubs did cheat in 16 and they did take it away, they would vacate. They'd start vacating stuff. Would the Cubs be on like this 113-year drought then? Would they refer to it even though they did it, but then they take it away, they vacated it, they would then be on a 113-year drought? Is that what it would be?
I don't
because
know
that's
how
what
you
the record.
Yeah, if you vacated it, yeah. Like I equated to, and I heard Passan saying it was something we've all talked about today as well. I mean, who do you recognize as the home run champ?
It's Barry Bonds,
right? I mean, the guys.
He cheated.
We had a size 6 3/4 hat for 1 year and a 7 7/8. You know, a few years later.
The problem that I've always had with cheating, Waddle, we've talked about it, is I don't know where it ends.
Right. So, I recognize Barry Bonds as the home run champ, and I get it. First of all, it wasn't illegal, and it wasn't against the rules in the sport at the time.
Right.
You weren't
testing for it. It wasn't against the baseball rules, though it was illegal, and many of the pitchers who were throwing in baseballs were juicing as well.
Right.
As were many of the hitters.
So I know people are pissed now, and for good reason. And I agree with the group that says, listen, knowing what pitch is coming, I think is a bigger advantage than taking all these horse hormones. But everyone was outraged when everyone was taking steroids as well, right? I just don't know where you draw that line for, okay, well, I'm not going to, Barry Bonds is no longer the home run champ. I subscribe overall to the thought that Bonds and they all go into the Hall of Fame, and as you've said in the past, you just tell all of their story. Like the Houston Astros, whether you take the trophy away or not, Jose Altuve's
you will look at him differently forever.
His baseball, what would you call it, legacy is forever tarnished. Whether you take the ring away from him or you don't recognize him as a World Series champion ever again, nobody will ever look at him the same way.
His individual best achievement, hitting a walk-off home run to win a pennant, is now looked at with a bunch of skepticism.
Absolutely.
Everyone goes, used a buzzer.
So, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, if you take away his ring or you take away the title, I get it. I understand the clamor for it. I'm not so sure, again, how I feel about it. But the ultimate penalty is he'll never be thought of the same way again, ever.
The thing is, though, it's for me, it's not about, I'm not asking you to go through the rest of the game and clean up everything that's ever had. Look, it's Roger Maris had an asterisk put next to his home run record because he played in 8 more games than Babe Ruth because,
he was a villain year.
And he did nothing wrong.
Right.
There's clearly precedent to do something dramatic. And in this case, when you find you don't have the power.
Which, you can't suspend him, or so we're told.
So, look, and that's been explained now by Jeff Passan and multiple other people that they didn't really have the power to go ahead and carry that through. That makes sense. Then do what you can. So go ahead and take this title away. And to your point, Sylvie, yeah, some people would say if it were the Cubs, a lot of people would say, yeah, they're on a 113-year streak. And maybe Cubs fans would stick their fingers in their ears and say it really happened, and that would be fine to believe that. But the truth is, if you come down as the commissionership and say this is no longer valid, then the Astros can't run around in microphones and say we still won the championship legitimately.
But at this point, you'd be doing it retroactively, because my guess is the only reason they talked to you is because they promised you, the league promised you, that they weren't going to suspend you,
right?
Which they couldn't do, and they weren't taking your title
away.
That's
how stuff got done. They said, here's the immunity, tell us the truth. General manager was fired. The manager was fired. The manager of the Red Sox was fired. And then the new manager of the Mets, because of his role inside that Houston, he paid the most, didn't he? And he was a player, and he still lost his job. The players were supposed to have immunity. He still lost his managerial job.
Right, so this story comes to light because guys were willing to talk, because you told them that not only were you not going to suspend them, you weren't going to take away their title.
I don't think he told them that. That wasn't promised. Immunity was promised, yes.
Right. I don't know about the day they ever said.
No, and because I've been listening through the whole Rob Manfred looking for the specific metal bite where he just calls a piece of metal, and he does lay out that they took into consideration that they thought about it, but ultimately that he didn't want to go into where do I draw the line, and that's his point of, you know, steroids and everything. Then do we have to clean up the rest? Do we have to go back through the record books? But no one's asking him to do that.
Let me ask you a question though, and it's all speculation, and you're right, I have not heard that. I don't think that's been proven. I that may be the conclusion that I'm willing to jump to, because why else would somebody tell you all of this and go through it if you it was still hanging over their head that, hey, listen, you know what, depending on how, you know, rocky the waters get, we may have to come back and retroactively take your World Series title away. I mean, what player is going to cough up all of the information if he knew you were either going to get suspended or you weren't going to be recognized? Jeff, seriously, what would you, if they're taking your title away?
But the concern would be, when you tell me immunity, I guess I don't necessarily go to, oh, my past accomplishments are safe and no longer going to be banished. I just assume immunity means I'm not going to be punished going forward.
Wouldn't a punishment be that they were taking your ring away from you?
That's probably the biggest punishment.
Right.
And this is my point of this conversation. I want to take calls. Is playing Monday morning quarterback, doing what people normally frown on and say, well, guys, now we have weeks to think about it. I don't know. Was there a path for Major League Baseball to be right in this? One of their teams cheated who won the World Series. Was there any way to get to the bottom of this in a better way and get the truth and suspend them? Because I think the people have the most problem with the lack of suspensions. And then when the lack of suspensions came, they didn't apologize for it. And it's been the snowball now rolling downhill. Then Rob Manfred sticks his foot in the mouth with a hunk of metal. And so what is the better path using hindsight? Can you even give me something good?
I can't. This is what I would say to you. Don't promise that you won't vacate their title or take their rings away. But then if you do that, you may not get
what you're looking for.
The commitment to tell the truth.
Kevin's in Naperville. Kev, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, man. So I got a question, and I think I do have maybe a possible solution. But my question originally that I called in was, you were talking about the Players Association and how there's no possible way they could have done any suspensions. I'm assuming because of the way that they would have been hard to prove or something. I'm wondering, with those videos, man, it's so clear as day with those garbage cans being banged in the background there. I would think that any kind of jury that, I don't even know how they do that stuff, but it's just so cut and dry. If it was just a video with the garbage can sitting there, I can understand you can't prove anybody was using it, even though it's very suspicious it's
but
sitting there.
But Kevin, let me interject this. This is not about evidence. This is about... And Mellor, you read the same thing I did, and I'm going to try to summarize it correctly. But when the commissioner's office talked to all the teams about not using technology to do this, what they told them was that they told the front office people. And the front office people, if they don't inform the players can then claim plausible deniability. For the players to actually be... eligible to be suspended, they would have had to have been told by management that they weren't allowed to do this. So players could suggest to you that Luhnow and the rest of the Astros front office never passed along that information from the commissioner's office, which then creates plausible deniability, which then keeps them from being eligible for a suspension, if that makes any sense to you.
No, that does make sense. When you talk about possible things they could have done, obviously he's messed things up. He can't go back now. But I wonder if he could have talked to maybe, some of the veteran players that are more respected, maybe like a council or something, like a player from each team or something. Obviously he had no finger on the pulse of these players at all, because everybody that's speaking out is obviously, you know, they have not done enough to punish the individual players at all. I mean, he didn't ask anybody. He just kind of thought about this thing and let's try this, and it just totally backfired on him.
Yeah, I don't think we all have. I think a lot of this stuff is coming out as we learn more and more. And look, this is why I think probably in hindsight, this is why management got fired, right? I mean, because they did not, Major League Baseball tells Luhnow and the Astros, hey, you're not allowed to do this. They don't pass it on to their players. So that's what's created this barrier between the commissioner's office and being able to suspend these players.
Nick's in Vernon Hills. Hey, Nick.
Hey, you know, one of the ways this could have been avoided altogether at the onset when they told management that they couldn't do this anymore, they would have stopped sending a live feed and done a 10-second delay, then no one would have gotten this information on time.
Right, right. If they weren't getting video in real time, if there was some sort of a delay where pitch by pitch, and they may do that, or they may shut off the live video in the back rooms anyway. And they've tried to cut down now on the appeal time. You only have 20 seconds to say, hey, I want to challenge this stuff. But replay the... what do they say, the unrealized consequence to all these new technologies of replay has been this.
Maybe
having
Major League
video
Baseball
rooms set up to know when to challenge a play has resulted in teams cheating in real time.
Well, the benefit of hindsight, Major League Baseball should have done this before it got to this point, or at the very least demanded that the Astros and all the other teams
talk to
their players to make sure that communication took place, so that if one of these players didn't stop, then they would have to pay a severe consequence.
All right, more of your phone calls, 332-3776. And also, the Bulls are supposedly going to get some change. Here's a guy we're going to talk to coming up next who was the vice president of an NBA team recently and worked for ESPN. He will tell us about possibilities and names of who could be the next Bulls GM and how are the Bulls perceived throughout the league by players and owners. That's coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Well, the rumors are heating up when it comes to the Bulls. And a lot of the columns, Joe Cowley, Cap has been reporting, Daily Herald, NBC Sports Chicago. A lot of people assume that this is going to happen, where a search is going to happen regarding the Reinsdorfs. And maybe PAX is helping in the search for a new leader in the front office. And John Hollinger is a guy who used to work for the company. Then he was the vice president of basketball operations for the Memphis Grizzlies. And a lot of the way we measure basketball players these days is because of John Hollinger. And now he works for The Athletic. And we thought, hey, here's a guy who's covered the league. Here's a guy who's worked in the league. He'd be a good guy to get some ideas from. We always say, who is the next basketball Theo? Who can run the Bulls? And how enticing is this job? I thought John would be a good guest we could talk to, and he joins us now. John, how are you feeling today?
Doing great. How are you guys?
We're good. I mean, a lot of Bulls fans, John, are very, very frustrated over what's gone on. Do you believe the rumors that you're hearing that the Bulls are ready for real change?
Yes, there's been, you know, an undercurrent of that for a while, that this might be something that happens. Now, what kind of change constitutes real change? Would be the other step of it. I don't know how far-reaching changes we're talking about. There's definitely been scuttlebutt that things will change.
What we've heard is that they would name a new general manager who would get to run basketball operations, with John Paxson still keeping some sort of his title, and he's being moved maybe more upstairs. So in my book, I want to know, is that real change? And would candidates view that as being the voice of basketball operations?
I think candidates would come in with questions, certainly, about how that would work. It's weird, you know, as big a net as the NBA cast, when you get right down to it, front offices are really 30 different mom and pop shops that each operate in their own idiosyncratic way. And so the devil is in the details, I guess, like if you're say interviewing for a job to run basketball operations, like how, you know, you want to know how involved is Paxson going to be, how involved is Reinsdorf going to be, is, you know, what's Gar Foreman's situation going to be? I mean, you have a lot of questions if that's the case.
John, if the offer is true autonomy, if that's what it is, if we would just assume that whoever comes in is going to be given full authority to make whatever basketball decisions he wants with personnel, with coaching, with scouting staff, all of that stuff, how desirable a job is that here in Chicago with this organization?
I think it would probably be pretty okay. I mean, you look at it and you're coming to a big market, so you have that advantage. A lot of players are from Chicago, like Chicago, so you have that going for you. I think that, you know, the expectations bar is probably pretty low right now after the last couple seasons, but there's actually a few good young players already there. I think you feel like you're in a pretty good position. You would probably want to know that you'd be able to hire your own coach. No disrespect to Jim Boylan, but I just think when you're coming in, you probably want to bring in your own guy. But I think as far as typically, like when a change happens, you know, it's not because everything's fine, right? So most of the situations are going to have some kind of warts or other. So I think relative to, you know, other potentially open jobs, I think candidates would look at this one probably pretty favorably.
John Hollinger joining us on the Corona Hotline. John's the former VP of basketball ops with Memphis, working now for The Athletic. So when you were in the league, how did front offices view the Bulls?
I'm trying to think, because there were a couple different phases, right? Well, during my time there, because they had, you know, they had a really good team where they were trying to win, and there was kind of one set of things they were trying to do then, and then they, kind of shifted gears, especially after that season with Wade and Rondo, into more of a rebuilding mode. Dealing with them was never like problematic or anything. As far as the typical, you know, teams in the league are always calling each other, trying to get information and find out about, you know, is there potential for trades and whatnot. 99% of your calls end up going nowhere, but, this is just what we do. And dealing with the Bulls, you know, dealing with Gar or Pax, I mean, it was totally fine.
How do you view their young players? Like, we talk consistently about a lack of development, whether it's Lauri Markkanen, or I know it's been a very short period of time with Kobe White, but there's not a lot of growth shown there. When you look at the core of this young group, is it impressive or not so much in your opinion, John?
You know, it's tough because so you talk about Lauri, like I really thought he would take a step forward this year. I had him on my all breakout team at the beginning of the year. And it hasn't happened. And you know, in his case, I wonder if there's some health issues there. I think like certainly Otto Porter hasn't been healthy the whole year. I think one of the background things that they may, that, you know, they may really want to target on the basketball operations side is, you know, where they stand on kind of the training staff and health and medical infrastructure, and if they need to invest more in that. Because that, you know, that people talk about player development, but the first step is keeping them on the court and letting them get physically to the place they need to be. So it's always a tricky thing with injuries, you know, what's luck and what's, you know, and what's systemic and a problem. But I mean, health, I think, has been an underrated story for this team. When you look at Lauri, you look at Otto Porter, you look at Wendell Carter, Chandler Hutchinson, like they've definitely had some guys out and that hasn't helped. But you know, like you said, I mean, those guys hadn't really shown a ton of progress this year either. I mean, Carter, even before he went out, was just like not shooting, right. Which was weird, right?
John Hollinger joining us, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. So, John, knowing the league and knowing who some of the good young guys are in these mom-pa shops, like you were saying, who would you call right now? Who are some of the good minds who could be the next really good general manager that you would call if you had a job opening?
You know, I was amazed. There were 5 open jobs last summer, and Michael Zarin in Boston didn't get interviewed for any of them, and I was just floored because I really think he'd be a great candidate to come in. And, you know, he's had a lot of success with the Celtics as Danny Ainge's kind of number two there. And I think he's, you know, more than ready for the promotion. I think everyone in the league thinks pretty highly of him. So he would definitely be a name on the short list for me.
John, we appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
All right. Thanks for having me.
There you go. John Hollinger from The Athletic, former vice president of basketball operations for the Memphis Grizzlies. And that's the biggest question I think you'll get from the candidates, as he pointed out.
Of course.
What are my duties? Do I report to John Paxson? Does John Paxson make my draft picks? Do I make my draft picks with John having veto power? Do I get to do everything? And then, you know, he's just sort of a guy judging my performance. That's what I want to know. What's going to be sorted out.
Absolutely. And the one thing that he said caught my ear was, because I had Lauri on my all breakout team as well.
We all did, yeah.
Why hasn't? And I think Zach LaVine, I don't know what, it wasn't on First Take, but there was another opportunity. Was he talking with the TNT guys?
Yeah.
And I think mentioned indirectly that Lauri may have been, you know, dealing with injuries from the very beginning of the season.
When I called my mom yesterday, my mom said that she was mad that Charles didn't go at Shaq more, because Shaq wouldn't let Zach LaVine answer the question, and Shaq kept yelling at Chuck for asking the question when Zach said, well, he was hurt. You know, and Chuck was saying, well, he actually played in the beginning of the year,
yeah.
And why wasn't he achieving? And Shaq just kept shutting him down. But, that's the million-dollar question. Was he hurt before he regressed? Or did he regress, and was he bad, and then he got hurt? Like, was he dealing with an injury? And if he was dealing with an injury, like John said, what's wrong with their medical team on why they didn't shut him down? If it was clearly impeding his growth, why wouldn't they say, we got to get this guy right? He's got to be healthy. He's got to miss a couple of weeks. Let's get him back, a reset for him, and let's see how well he can come back.
You got to know who he is by the end of this year. Whether it is you put him in a trade and you try to acquire something else, or you still feel strongly that he's a guy that you can develop, there's just so many questions because of this has kind of been a wasted year in a lot of ways so far.
All right, get your Would You Rather entries in. Last call for them. It's about 4 minutes away, 312-332-3776. You could actually tweet us the Would You Rather questions, though. Use the hashtag WS Would You Rather will give you a Grand and Western gift card if you have the best creative Would You Rather. That's all coming up next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
LeBron James, it's now officially a topic, right, Waddle? LeBron James is weighing in on the baseball cheating scandal. And this is like, a lot of people are mad about it.
I don't know how to solve the issue either.
Here's what LeBron just tweeted a few minutes ago. Two-part tweet. Listen, I know I don't play baseball, but I am in sports. And I know if someone cheated me out of winning the title and I found out about it, I would be effing irate. I mean, like, uncontrollable about what I would slash could do.
I think, yeah, most baseball players feel that way.
Listen here, baseball commissioner. Listen to your players speaking today about how disgusted, mad, hurt, broken, et cetera, about this. Literally, the ball is in your court, or should I say field. And you need to fix this for the sake of sports. He hashtagged it, just my thoughts coming from a sports junkie, regardless my own sport I play. Sign LeBron James.
I said to you guys at the break, I said the one thing I would want to know is, was part of the immunity pledge that they weren't going to take the World Series title away from them, or they weren't going to vacate the title? Because, I mean, listen, without that pledge, do they get the information at the commissioner's office with the investigation?
But are you using
now
peer pressure to take away the title when you didn't believe in it in the first place?
Right. So now are you going to go back and change your mind because...
And then that's a slippery slope. What else are we taking away
exactly
now? Exactly. What do we take away in the future? 312-332-3776. We'll talk more about that after Would You Rather.
Hey, this is Coach Mike Dick.
Greg Olson here.
This is Stacey King.
Hey, this is D. Rose.
What up? This is Ludacris.
Hello, this is Dick Enberg. Would you like to play a little Would You Rather? Oh, my.
Well, my guys at Grand and Western Liquors, they bring you Would You Rather each and every Tuesday at about 4:30, located at the corner of...
Grand and West.
That is correct, and they pass the savings along to you. Give a shout-out to my guy, Alex, walking to the store. They're number one in beer. You're going to say, wow, a lot of beer here. Whether you like the Coors Light, the Miller Light, the Bud Light, or you like
The beer.
Yeah, you like some of the... What are you... The craft beers, you know, like you're Freddie Huebner. Or you need some wine, they'll hook you up and they'll send you off on your way.
Today's National Wine...
Taste Wine Day. Something like that, yeah. Because National Wine Day is in May. Today is like a spinoff of that. It's National Taste Wine Day. Right. It's cool. Like you said, every day is that. So head to Grand and Western Liquors today. Boys, what do we have?
All right, gentlemen, it's been the theme of the day, so I'll let Joe kick us off with, would you rather win a World Series the way the Astros did, but no one finds out, or go your whole career never winning a championship on a bad team? So what can you live with?
I'm going to go with, and it's not because I'm pious.
Are you going to go with the moral ground and say, I'd rather not win than the way to win that way?
Yeah, I think so.
Easy way out.
It's not. The easy way out is to go the other direction and not face the criticism from anyone. I'm being criticized for suggesting to you that I take the right route.
Are you the guy cheating here? Or, I mean, if you're cheating to begin with, you're saying you don't care. You're saying, I don't care how I win. What if you're like a bullpen guy who didn't benefit from this except for your team was winning? And you went out and you did your job for 50 games and 50 appearances, but you found out you didn't win it fair and square.
Well, yeah, you are the cheater in this scenario.
Well, I think if you've already carved out that you're going to be the cheater, then you don't care if you've cheated. You know what I'm saying? If you're Altuve, if you're Correa, if you're Bregman, and you said, yes, let me know illegally... Which pitch is coming?
They've obviously justified it to themselves.
What about if it's the way it is right now? Do you think any players on the Astros would rather have it the way it currently is, having won the title, but under these circumstances where they're being scrutinized day in and day out, Or do you think any players on that roster would give up the title if they didn't have to face the scrutiny, if they could go back in time?
I don't know how they'll feel 10 years from now. But right now, like a lot of people have said, their legacies are tarnished.
But you've always said this when we've talked about steroids, that when it comes to guys who say, oh, boy, you know, I'm making $800,000. I'm a good role player. But if I can get my power up a little bit. And this guy says, hey, take this under my supervision. It will help you. You've always said you would be tempted, or like it's a tough temptation.
I think that I can distinguish between the two. Both are wrong, but when you're using technology to cheat and you know what's coming at you as a baseball player, I can see that as a different crime versus taking something that makes you bigger, faster, and stronger.
Well, I mean, that is using, quote, technology. It's using science, right?
Yes.
That's illegal.
Of course. We're talking about two things that are wrong.
Right,
so you're choosing choosing steroids or this.
Right.
Yeah, I could talk myself through steroids before this.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So I would not do it this way, obviously.
Would you rather have a tainted World Series or a 108-year drought?
You know, it's funny because I was right before you read that question. Like, wouldn't that be the total kick in the groin, unlike any, that you finally did win and then they would vacate it? Like, think about that. Like, if we would find out that they did it wrong.
Well, they wouldn't vacate it, but in the eyes of the public, it would be.
Like, think
be
about
real.
That. Like, the one that you had to struggle for and that you won in this monumental way, and you find out then in the end that you cheated your
okay,
your
well, let
favorite
me ask,
team.
Let me ask you, like, that let me ask you this question. If you found out that a couple of your guys on your team got away with taking things that were banned.
I know.
Versus using technology to know what pitch was coming, which one can you tolerate more?
Well, like you said, it is more cheating when you know which pitch is coming.
I'm going to make the supposition, whether it's stupid or not, that there are guys in Major League Baseball and in the NFL and other places taking things that are on the ban list, and they haven't been caught. I'm just going to
so
that's already happening,
right? And my 03 Cubs, it's been known there were a bunch of people cheating on that 03 Cubs. It came out in the reports later. The Mitchell report, right?
So my point is like, I'm thinking this through, and I'm not suggesting the Cubs, but let's just say who won the World Series in 2017. Whoever won in 2000.
Astros.
It was the Astros. Or 2018. Who won?
Exactly.
Okay. So, well, they cheated too.
That's what I'm saying. Would you vacate two in a row then? Like, this is a slippery slope now. What if the report comes out next week and you find out the Red Sox cheated?
Well, that's you looking for all outs.
Then I'm looking at the Cubs next.
Yes.
Well, that's the thing. Feel how this is, like, think about how this is going on right now. Like, it can't be that bad because Chris Sale's already come out and said some pretty defiant things, right? Are you making defiant comments if...
Oh, yeah? And Lance Armstrong?
No, you're right.
Every cheater known to man came out and they were defiant.
Well, that your hope would be... That's why I said be careful when you try to grab moral high ground if you don't, you know, if you have some...
Garrett Cole said he didn't even know what was going on.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's why I'm saying this whole thing is polluted.
It's mind-blowing.
He got off scot-free with that. He just, I'm going to the Yankees, and I didn't even know it was happening.
So, I mean, my guess is regardless of what league you're in, there are guys that have cheated by taking substances that are on the ban list, which have given them an unnatural advantage. Do you think that that's, like we just said, that's a fair speculation?
Yes. We're going down this rabbit hole now that Mellor always talks about.
You know,
you talk about a team cheating with technology, then we're going to go down the rabbit hole and say, well, this team had how many juicers in the steroid era? And then do they deserve to vacate it?
Did they just not get caught? Did they not just get, is that the case? Like, I got guys over here on Team X that just didn't get caught. I know for sure five of those guys were taking something. They're ahead of the testing, but they didn't get caught.
What were you going to say, Abdallah?
You know what? I thought of this because we're talking about the tattoos and everything with Altuve and
you
all that kind of stuff.
You wouldn't want your shirt ripped off
either? No, but think about this. We haven't talked about, think about how many people went out and got Cubs tattoos after they won the World Series.
I know.
What do you do now if you have an Astros tattoo?
Right. I'm just playing the game.
Just put an asterisk next to it.
I would hope. That would be good.
Would you rather have Altuve's bad tattoo or an Astros World Series tattoo?
Probably Altuve's bad tattoo. Look, that's why I'm saying, like, I get it. People are pissed. They want a pound of flesh, and I understand why. What's the appropriate pound of flesh? I don't know.
Let's light up the. We'll read some more would you rathers because we gotta get some of these calls. But this is really a mind blowing topic, and we challenge you. Here's the Waddle and Sylvie challenge right now. You're the commissioner. You can do whatever you want. How do you do it the right way now with hindsight? Do you stop what you're doing like LeBron said, listen to your players and say what we did wasn't enough, that we have to go back on our word and we either have to penalize or rethink vacating it? But then what's the slippery slope that if you vacate it, are other things going to be vacated?
Uh-oh.
We have chatter. Is this about the Cavs?
No. Whoa, see?
Whoa, you that's
you
football.
You got to wait.
That's
you gotta
football.
Wait for the chatter. Friend of the show, friend of the program, Greg Olson has signed a deal. A one-year, $7 million deal with the Seattle Seahawks.
Ooh, that's the best, team for him. I thought he would go to Washington.
Schefter said he really liked give Buffalo him a chance to win. And Washington and strongly considered both, but went to Seattle.
Good for Greg. Yeah.
Got a chance to win.
So what do you do here? I mean, is there any win for the league now? Where we are in this total mess, where everyone's making it worse with every day that goes by. People want to kick the Astros' ass. Right? People hate the commissioner.
Yes, that's all of the anger is justified. I get it.
And now LeBron and everyone else starting to weigh in on this. How do you make it right? 332-3776. We'll take your calls next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
The idea of, an asterisk or asking for a piece of metal back seems, sort of a futile act. People always know that there was something about the 2017 World Series that was different, and they're going to know that because whether we made every decision right or wrong, we undertook a really thorough investigation, and we had the intestinal fortitude to put out there the facts we found, even though they weren't very pretty.
Here he is, the big hunk of metal himself.
I wouldn't be talking about your intestinal fortitude right now. I think hiding is probably the best route for them at the moment.
This is what John Lester said. He said, that's someone who has never played our game. You play for a reason. You play for that piece of metal. Very proud of the three that I have. If that's the way he feels, then he needs to take his name off the trophy.
Yeah, I think it was a really bad choice of words by the commissioner.
So play the Waddle and Sylvie challenge. What's the right thing to do now? All right, we've gone through this drill. They gave them immunity. And I understand the strategy because they did get to the bottom of the scandal in 17. They used it to win. Now, did they go deep enough with the buzzer stuff? They trusted them on what they said about the buzzers, thinking that why would they tell us about 17 and why would they lie to us about the buzzers? People are not convinced, though, that they didn't cheat their way to the World Series this past year.
And part of this equation, too, is Major League Baseball talked to the front office. Help me out here, Mellor. And Lunau, it was the job of Lunau and his fellow front office people to then convey what the commissioner had said to his team and make sure that his players knew exactly what the commissioner's office, where they stood on this, and that this situation had to be handled by the players.
Yes, it was incumbent upon the front office to let their players know that they were being warned by the commissioner's office to knock off what they were doing. And that was never relayed. So Lunau and Hinch not telling their players has now put the commissioner's office in a situation where they really have no recourse.
They can say now we're suspending you because everyone's outraged after they promised.
Plausible deniability that we weren't told. Here, that's what the players are going to respond with.
He could go ahead and do that, but pretty much everyone will tell you that will be thrown out almost immediately. It has worse chances of being held up than Chris Bryant's grievance.
Think about the Players Association, okay? They're going to have to defend these Astros players against the
majority.
Other players, right? So you have the Players Association representatives, hypothetically, defending a certain small percentage of the players against the larger majority of the players. I mean, it is a hot mess.
Rod's in Romeoville. Hey, Rod.
Hey, guys, I got a question. Prop bet. What's the over-under on bench-clearing brawls for the Astros on the season?
Like, real brawls or bench-clear? Like, are you counting just the benches clearing and then them talking?
Both dugouts empty out. That's my question. Thank you.
I mean, like,
I don't know.
I mean, real brawls, that I don't know. Would you bet on a real brawl happening?
Listen, a team
wants a real piece of the Astros and they're willing to fight.
If the number was a half, I'm taking the over. If the numbers, I'd probably still take the over at 1.5, but I don't think it's going to be as wild, wild west as everybody, because they're already going to tell you they're going to suspend guys.
We mentioned it earlier. The William and Hill set the line for 83.5 numbers of time the Astros are hit by pitches. Now, they haven't been over 70 in the last 5 years. Would either of you pound the over? Or do you think that one suspension will put an end?
They've not been over 70, you said.
In the last 5 years, the Astros have not gone over 70 hit by pitches.
What's the, is it even money on it? Or is it the favorite over? Where's the value?
I will have to look that up.
I think. I think I would too, because there's already been a warning issued. They've already talked about, hey, listen, we're not going to tolerate you guys. I don't know what's going to take place. I think at some point things will smooth out a little bit.
What if the Astros continue to be arrogant and after they hit a home run this year, they're pointing at the other dugout. They're saying, see, cheat this. What? We're still good, you know, and then do players get more mad?
I don't think Carlos Correa, after I thought him making the most acceptable apology of all the Astros, then kind of reversed his stance that weekend. I think he made a bad situation worse.
Well, don't you see a way where it may calm down, but then the Astros may do something stupid again?
I think they would have been a whole lot better off if they hadn't been as defiant as they were over the week.
Dean in Pingree Grove, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Dean.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're good.
So instead of taking, you know, the ring away, the banner or whatever, how about like hard capping them so they don't keep their stars? I mean, they're already going to be a playoff team if you think about it this year. I mean, why not hard cap them so they don't keep their stars and take their draft picks away like they're doing? Make them suffer and make them not a good team.
That, to me, is a more desirable approach than banning them from the postseason. I think that creates a competitive problem in the American League if you do that, because they'll play the season differently. Guys will approach the season differently.
Okay, let's go to KC on the north side. KC, you're on ESPN 1000.
What's going on, boys? I got two things. One is a question. How can we find out what immunity they gave the players? Because it seems like a whole nother lawsuit. If they pull the ring after saying, you know, you guys tell us the truth, we'll let you go and you keep your ring.
Right. No, it's a good question. I don't know. I don't know if the promise was made that not only will you not be suspended, but we won't come after the title. Because if they do reverse course, there's no doubt that the Players Association then, if those players choose to pursue retribution, would go after Major League Baseball.
Ben's in Austin, Texas. Hey, Ben.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So I was just, like, being down here. I moved right after the Cubs won the World Series, so I saw this whole run from the Astros, and it was pretty relatable. Like, I mean, a bunch of my buddies had a really great time, like, enjoying the playoff run and the World Series win. But after hearing, like, all week everything that's come out, it's, like, sad. But I think they really need to, like, I don't know, vacate the title. And, I mean, that's going to be a huge bummer for, like, the people of Houston. I mean, I live in Austin, and there's still a ton of people. But, like, at this point, I mean, a lot of people have a lot of opinions, but they got to do something. Like, this is
but it's
definitely going to be tough for the fans. That's my biggest thing, is it's just, like, a bummer. Because I was down here. I lived through the Cubs run, and that was awesome. And, like, it's super relatable. Like, the Astros had a great you know, great playoff, great World Series against the Dodgers, but, like, I mean, the fan statements, don't you think it's going to just be, like, chaos if they don't do something about it?
I don't know, or will it blow over? Like, are they facing the eye of the storm here, and they just say, we've got to let it blow
over?
Well,
the commissioner already told you that vacating the title is kind of a meaningless thing from his perspective because these reputations and these legacies have already been tarnished.
Yeah.
And if he's basically said that to you and then he decides to reverse course, like you said, you are now going down a slippery slope. Every time the commissioner's office says something, is it for real or is it something that could change in a week?
And then is he going to be pushed by peer pressure? Like, because of what LeBron said, that all baseball players are furious, would they pressure him into doing something he didn't want to do to begin with?
Listen, this is what you could do. If the Major League Baseball owners, who I believe Rob Manfred works for them, correct?
Yes.
If they come together and say, this did not work out correctly, it's best for the sport of baseball for us to remove you as the commissioner of baseball. That is obviously an option. For people expecting the commissioner to resign, I don't think that's going to happen.
All right. Jeff Passan weighed in on this, whether or not vacating the title is a real option. You'll hear that coming up in 2 minutes.